Well, good morning. Is everybody having a good Sunday morning so far? Well, I made it through the first service without them having to call the paramedics. Let's see if we could do the second service as well. I told the first group that I haven't been this nervous since the first time I preached, and the first time I preached was 12 minutes, so you might be benefiting from this. But I used to preach two services, once to my mirror and then once to the congregation. But I believe that God has a great thing in store for us, and I'm looking forward to it. Pastor asked me to come and to speak a few weeks ago, and I almost said no, but who is to say no to your spiritual authority? So I submitted, and here I am today. And we're going to be starting a series. Pastor asked me to start it, and I said, are you serious? And he goes, yes. But I want to get the amens right off the bat. So this is what I'm going to say. We have one awesome pastor, don't we? So, and hopefully he's watching live stream, so he'll know that he has a church that loves him. But as you know, him and the girls and Jackie are traveling, and I just want to, let's just pray for their safety and for them to enjoy their time away. Father, we come to you, and we're uplifting our shepherd, our pastor, our leader, and his family as they're traveling. Father, we pray that you will protect them safely, but you'll also let them have this time away just to be able to be regrouped, to re-energize, and enjoy one another's company. Father, thank you again for bringing such a great gift to us. We lift them in your prayers. In your name we pray, amen. I've been in ministry for close to 20 years, and I've been in and out of preaching different pulpits, and some were easier than others. And I could tell you one thing that I've learned is it is much easier to enter the pulpit when there's a house of worship that knows how to worship. It is a lot harder to get up there and try to preach a message that is lively and enthusiastic if the people are dead. So I want to say thank you for having the heart to worship God, because that's why we're here, amen? We're here to bring a smile to his heart. And so I would like to say thanks. Now, this morning I told you that we're actually starting a new series, and this series does not have to do with anything that I'm starting or Pastor Hans is starting. I believe it's a series that we as a church are going to be starting because it's what we as a church need. We need to know what it looks like to live a life of a disciple. We've been in church for 20 years, and it never hurts to have a refreshing memory of what it's like to live a life of a disciple. God has called us to go out and make disciples. How can we make disciples if we don't know what a disciple even looks like? So that's what I'm actually going to be focusing on, but this one little part of being a disciple. If we're truly going to be a disciple for Christ, we must be relational. I'm going to repeat that. If we are going to truly be a disciple for Christ, we must be willing to have relationship with others, to get involved in other people's lives. Let me ask you the question, what drove you to church today? Now, if you interviewed my wife, she would tell you Roger drove her crazy to church today. You know? Well, you don't have to agree that well. I always embarrass myself at least one time every time I preach. But what drove you to church today? What got you out of bed on a rainy day and got you to get dressed and deal with all the hassle of getting your family together? Now, you know what? If you have kids, you know that it's a hassle to get your family together for church. Everybody says amen. You know, I have the luxury. My wife will get the girls ready. Thank God. You know, because Gabrielle, she'll love the outfit this week. It hates it the next week. I told her I was going to embarrass her. Somebody told me to pull her up on the pulpit and get her to do that. And I said, no, I ain't going to do that. She'll end up killing me. What gets you to go through all the trouble just to get to church? What is driving you to be here? You know, where you sacrifice eating a bowl of cereal and watching cartoons in bed. You know, that you put away. Maybe you're here instead of being at the Waffle House eating pecan waffles and drinking coffee. You know, what drove you here? Down, you know, talking about the Waffle House, I was in Florida with Sarah Hess couple weeks ago, and she told us about this video of the Waffle House. And there's some things about the Waffle House that you can guarantee. One is that when you walk in, there's going to be about an inch of grease that's on the floors. You're not going to get your food all at the same time. They're going to bring your grits, then they might bring your toast. They might bring one piece of toast at a time. And you also know, going in there, looking at the cooks and everything else, if the health inspector came in, they're going to fail. What would make you want to drive to sacrifice all of that and come to church? You know, is it because maybe you knew that you're going to have one good-looking speaker today? Now that's when you can amen somebody. What drove you? Could it be what drove you to church is that you get to celebrate the life of Jesus? Could it be that what drove you to church that you get to celebrate that you're more than a conqueror because of Jesus? Could it be because there is a God out there that died on the cross, but he's not dead anymore because he rose? Is that the reason that drove you to church this morning? Because that's what's driving me to church. What's driving me to church to know that I could walk into the glory of glories and be delivered from anything that's keeping me down. That's what drove me to church. What drove me to church is knowing that I can have the opportunity to minister to somebody and say somebody else comes to the kingdom of God. That's what drove me to church. Let me ask you, what drove you to church this morning? Maybe we'll go a little longer than 12 minutes today. Maybe being able to overcome generational curses. Or maybe just coming and being encouraged by our brothers and sisters. There's so many times that I can go through all out the week and I'm just being discouraged and I'm being beat up, and I can come to church for 5 minutes. And because the people that's in this house, I could leave with a lot more joy in my heart than I came in with. I could leave with a lot more peace than when I came with, a lot more of assurance. And that's because the body knows how to be the body. So today I want to talk about what should drive us to church is the fact that we have a desire to be a disciple for Jesus. And that's where we can learn how to be a disciple for Jesus. What better place to learn than the house of God to learn how to be a disciple for him? And I'm going to talk about one part, which is relational. If you have your books or your Bibles with you, please turn to Acts chapter 2. I want to talk, while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what the Greek meaning a disciple is. It's a student, a pupil, a person who learns and studies under close supervision. Now, when I first read this, where it said under close supervision, I was like, man, I was getting that through all high school because every teacher was making sure they had nothing but supervision on me. Probably because they knew I was getting ready to cause some type of trouble. It wasn't to teach me how to be a disciple, that's for sure. But if you're going to be a true, authentic discipler, you're going to be a student of his word, you're going to be under his close supervision, you're going to be a true follower of God. See, the first century Jewish, they said a disciple is someone who is committed. Now, I'm probably, when I say the word commit, for some of us, it might be cussing because it just makes us cringe when we say commit. But the body has to be committed to Jesus if they're going to be a disciple for Jesus. It says that they're committed to a leader or a movement. Christ is moving throughout this whole region, and we need to be committed to that movement that he is bringing here to North Carolina. The revival that he wants to bring to this region, we have to be committed to it. And the one way that we show committed is showing that we're going to be disciples who has relationship. If you're there at Acts chapter 2, just because I like to hear it say amen. Verse 42, it says this. All of the believers are devoted. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say a few. It doesn't say many. It says all of the believers are devoted to themselves, to the apostles, teaching and fellowshipping and sharing meals. Now, when I read this part, sharing meals, I was thinking, goodness gracious, sharing meals? If you have seen me eat, I'll eat my plate and yours. How are we going to share this? Crystal's dad, you definitely don't want it. He'll put a fork through your hand. You try to take his sharing meals. But it says sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper and prayer. You know, I was, first service, I was extremely nervous. And I was able to go to a brother and say, hey, come here. Flagged him into the green room and said, I need your prayers. I don't know why I'm so nervous, but I need your prayers. And he immediately started praying. See, that's what the body of Christ, if we're going to be true disciples, are, is that we can count on each other to pray for each other, regardless of how big or small the issue is. He could say, Roger, you spoke a million times. You have no business being nervous. Get over it. But instead of him saying that, he said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. See, my major, it might have been small to him, but it was major to me, so he took it to heart. And that's what a discipler does. It continues, not only did they pray, they also pray, but they had a deep sense of awe that came over all of them. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place. They shared everything together. They sold their properties and possessions and shared the money for those who were in need. And get this, they also worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying his goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to the fellowship for those who are being saved. You know, I don't believe when they say add to the numbers, it was to their attendance as much as names were being added to the Lamb Book of Life. That's what's more important. It's not how many chairs we fill, it's how much of heaven and in the kingdom that we fill. And if we want to continue to fill the kingdom with souls for Jesus, then we have to be a disciple for him. And the only way we can be a disciple for him is if we're relational. The life of a disciple being relational, we read, you fellowship with one another, you share meals, you pray, you come together in one place, and you worship together. See, relational is the most important attribute, in my opinion, to be able to serve God. Relationship means this, it's related to kinship. See, if you're going to have a relationship with your brother and sister, you need to see them more than just a neighbor. You need to see them as a brother or a sister. And that takes relationship. You know, when I was in Emmanuel, everybody knew that my family was, I didn't have family. And that was a big struggle for me. And so what they did was they created a family for me. I tell you, when you go to college, you just get crazy. And you do crazy stuff. And I had a person that represented my mom. I had a person that represented my dad. They even made cousins and brothers. But they made a family for me. And they became my kinship. And you know, I consider more people that I'm not blood related as kin than I do some of my blood. And that's because they've been there for me more than some of the people that have blood flowing through the veins. See, let me tell you something. Blood is thicker than water. It is the blood of Christ that's thicker than water, and it brings us all together. It is not the last name that you carry that makes you kin to somebody. It's a relationship that you carry with your Savior that makes you kin. And family is very dear to me because of the fact that I grew up. If you grow up not having one, then you know how to appreciate it when it comes into your ball field. Relationship is that you're concerning the way to which two or more people or things are connected. Now, you have a connected pastor telling you it's time to get connected. Get connected in the relationship with the people that we attend church with, the people that we celebrate with, the people that we worship with, the people that we eat with. And the reason being that relationship is so important, here's the first reason. You ready? Well, whether you're ready or not, here it goes. We come to Christ. You, me, come to Christ through relationship. Now think about this. If I took a survey here this morning, I would say about 20% of you may raise your hand if I asked you how many got saved by watching a televised evangelist. Where 80% of us will raise our hands because somebody that we knew invited us to church or led us to the Lord because of a relationship they have. Let me tell you about how I got saved. It was through relationship. It wasn't through some crazy TV. God bless. Those ministries are good. Some of them. But this is how I got led. This young lady was somehow find herself in every class that I was in. I started calling her a stalker because every time I turned around, I'm in the class and she's right behind me. She was a Christian, but she didn't have the most tactfulness of sharing the gospel. I mean, we would have a drug check in the schools and she'd go, "He's right here. Come and get him." I don't know how that is spreading the love of Jesus, but okay. But we had relationship. I knew her. And I didn't know that she was always praying for me. Well, back when I was 18 years old, we didn't get call waiting for free. You had to pay $4 and some cent to get it. It was the best $4 and some cent in my life, because this is why. She called me one of the most crucial days of my life. I was at my kitchen table with a gun on the table. And I was getting ready to end it. I was done. I didn't have a family that I thought cared about me. I was a dropout of high school. I was done. And she called. And I saw on caller ID who was calling me. Now, if I didn't have a relationship with her, I probably wouldn't have picked up the phone. But because I did, she invited me to church, and I postponed what I was going to do. And I walked in the Wednesday night, and she threatened all the youth people, "If you better be nice to him or I'm going to kill you." Told you, she's nuts. Oh, wait, this is live stream. I hope she ain't watching. But she told the whole youth group, "You better treat them nice. You better build, you know, relationship. Let them feel welcome." But I walked through the church that night, and I said, "God, I know your word. And I do not want to serve a God who always has taken everything from me." I was angry with them. But I'm here because there was a cute girl that was inside those doors. That was the only reason I was there. Well, I get there and he doesn't do anything. God doesn't convict me or nothing. And she invites me to come back Sunday. I said, "Sure, I'll come back Sunday if you go out with me Friday." She did, and I went in Sunday, and I became a Christian that Sunday afternoon. and I would not be able to be the pastor to speaking to you today. I would not be able to be the person who led a church or helped with youth groups. I would not be the person that God has called me to be if I didn't have a relationship with someone that knew when to call and how to call and what needed to be said. That's why it's so important that we are become disciples who have relationship, because it can bring you or me to Christ. And that if that's the only reason, then that's good enough reason to be a disciple. Amen? See, when we become disciples, relationships, we become more than just being somebody that provides information. We become somebody that gives them the avenue to be able to transform their life. I'll give you one more story about how it could help others. When I was going to Emmanuel College, I had to put myself through school and help, you know, pay for my groceries and stuff. So I worked at Applebee's. But when I applied for Applebee's, I was in my interview and the manager was like, well, we don't like hiring Christians. And she was in between two Christian colleges because they like to judge us. And they come in and try to preach before they do their job. Well, she didn't have no choice at that point to hire me because I could have sued her for discrimination. So she hired me and said, you're not allowed to speak about God while you're on the clock. Now, let me tell you something. I honor that because my Bible tells me to honor your leaders that he puts over you. And so I didn't speak of God, because if I did, I think I would have been dishonoring the wishes of why I was there. But you know what? I might not have spoke it in my mouth, but I sure did speak it with my attitude. I sure did speak it with my body language and how I behaved. And a year later, I was able to build relationship with majority of the people there. And a year later, the very one that looked at me when I first started says, I will never enter a church again, came to me and said, Roger, I need Sunday off, and you're the only person to have Sunday off. Can we switch? And I asked her, what are you doing that you need Sunday off? She goes, I want to go to Mardi Gras. I say, okay, I'll work your Sunday, but the following Sunday, you come to with me to church. See, you see, I like making deals like that. She goes, okay. She went to Mardi Gras and came back, and she goes, I guess I'll honor my side of the deal. I'll go to church with you. And so that Saturday night, I went and I prayed for her until it was time to go pick her up. And she comes to church, and I pick her up, and she comes to church. And by the second worship song, she's crying so much because she has felt so much love. She accepted Christ right then and there. Today, no longer is she a homosexual, but instead she is married with three children. Let me tell you, if I didn't have the relationship with her, I wouldn't have been able to bring her to Christ. That's why it's so important that we become disciples who have relationship. A disciple is God's way of opening the door for us to be friendly, to be honest with others, to provide for others, to share with others. Now, another reason that relationship of a disciple is so important is because we can help people overcome and to grow. They overcome their strongholds, their generational curses, the false thought the enemy has said in their ear. We can help people overcome that. That right there should get us fired under the Holy Spirit, shouldn't it? See, you know, when I got saved, I had a lot of baggage that I took with me to Emmanuel College, and I'm not talking about suitcases. I had a lot of trust issues. I had a lot of issues, period. I still do. But when I went there, I started going. I was in this dorm for about 20 guys, and we prayed together. We ate together. We fellowshipped together. We became pretty close. And they found out that I never had a birthday that I remember. And I wouldn't tell people my birthday because I didn't want to be disappointed. And so they broke the law. Imagine Roger's friends breaking the law. Then went to the missions and went through my file to find out my birthday, which is October 8th, by the way. From October 1st to October 7th, they come to me and say, happy birthday, and try to blow it out of the water. October 8th comes, and not one person said happy birthday. I get to my room that night, and I can't walk in because there's balloons all over the floor. There was a birthday cake that was on my desk, the biggest birthday cake I've ever seen. And on my bed was gifts from the time that I would have received when I was 1 year old all the way up until I was 20. To make up for every birthday that I ever had. And then because of that relationship, we went to church service one night and the Holy Spirit was moving. Now, I'm a small dude. But when they started praying for me, because they came and said, we're going to break this curse that you feel like you're not worth anything. Once and for all. And they all started praying. And if they didn't have a relationship, they would have never got that authority. And God, the Holy Spirit, just knocked me back three chair rows back. They thought, oh my goodness, he's dead. And I get up with more joy and laughter than I have had all 20 years of my life. But it could not take place, guys, if I didn't have the relationship with the people that I need a relationship with. I couldn't overcome those things if people didn't care enough to have a relationship with me and go through the junk that I put them through. See, having relationship with people gets messy. But it's not our job to clean up the mess. It's God's job. All we have to do is get in the mess with them. Get your hands dirty if you want to be a true discipler. Helping people overcome. Another reason that's important to be relational with our discipleship is because it helps us follow Christ. It helps us get to know Christ. Because if we don't know Christ and we don't have a relationship ourselves with Christ, there's no way we could guide somebody else to have a relationship. We can't help somebody overcome and grow in Christ if we're not growing and overcoming ourselves. That is the blind leading the blind. I'm debating on whether I want to share this or not, so just bear with me. I try to stick with my notes, but I just feel like God might be saying something here. Sometimes it's hard to hear the word relationship because of what we've been through. That we've tried to do so much and put walls up so much that the word relationship kind of makes us cringe. I'm trying not to get to choke up. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you how important relationship is. Because not only would I not be here if I didn't have relationship, I wouldn't be in the ministry if I didn't have relationship. And I'm just going to be real with you for a moment. See, I thought relationship was completely different when it comes to the body. When I went to Emmanuel College, I found a group of friends. And we planted a church together. And the pastor there became my spiritual father. And I thought, man, I got a dad. I got a dad who loves me. He's going to look out for me. He's going to teach me how to be a minister. And then one day God put in my heart that I was supposed to come back to Virginia to help plant another church. And I went and told him this. And I was just expecting him to be excited that he saw his spiritual son growing up and being able to go into ministry. But I was wrong. He called me the prodigal son that'll never return. And so my idea of what a relationship with a brother or a sister got tainted. I moved to Virginia. And I started ministering again. And then the devil messed up again. I went to a church. And my heart has been used and to minister to the lost since the day I got saved. And I had somebody that was supposed to be a spiritual leader of me at that time tell me I would never be a good speaker, that it's just in my dreams and I need to let go of it, that God has not called me to be a pastor, and that I'm just fooling myself. And so I started viewing my relationship with Christians all over again. Well, why are you sharing this story? And I didn't share this in the first service. I'm just going with God. I feel like God is saying at this point. Because we as Christians, if we're not careful how we treat others, we could have an internal impact on our lives in a negative way instead of a positive way. One final blow was this. I ministered at a church for 7 years. And I was tired. And there was just a few handful of people that actually cared for me at this church. Majority of the time, I was fighting my way through. And when I resigned from the church, it was the hardest thing I did. But I told Crystal I was never going to go back into ministry. It's just too hard. And if it wasn't for relationships that I had in the body, I would not be preaching to you today. Those relationships is your pastors. See, Pastor Hans knew what it felt like, so he brought me in and started just pouring into me and healing me through just compassionate. And Alan, Preston, being with me through the 7 years. So God used that, and now I am more happier now than I've ever been. Well, I'll just take this back, and I've been in a long time. I know that God has used me to make more impact than I ever could imagine. I know that what I've done in the past does not affect my future. See, I know these things because of the relationship that I have with the people in the body. It is important that we become disciplers that has relationship with others and understand that we can affect them in a positive way. Let me ask you, what drove you to church today? Do you have the desire to be so impactful in other people's lives that you're willing to get into somebody's relationship? You have the power of changing somebody. Think about that. You know, I guarantee you, if I ask you to think right now, each of you will think about somebody that you have a relationship with, whether it's in your job, whether it's at your school, whether it's in your neighborhood or in your own family or even here in church today. You know somebody that God has put on your heart, and I challenge you to be the discipler that God has called us to be. Create relationship with them and be with them through the thick and thin. And when you do that, you will see that your fruit is worth it, because there's going to be one day that you'll be able, just like with my friends, and start praying over them and see them then go through a breakthrough that you've never seen them go through before. And then they're going to be able to start ministering to other people. And not only did that means you touched their lives, but you touched the lives that they touched, and it's a snowball effect. And that's just how the kingdom works. Yeah, when I was at Emmanuel College and I joined this drama team, I told you my wife said I drive people crazy, and I do that. I think that's a spiritual gift for me or something. Well, I joined this team, and my leader said, okay, Roger, you have 1 hour to minister to people here. You got to be back at the van, Roger. I was like, why are you calling my name? 1 hour, because we got to get to a church that we're supposed to minister at. Well, I started ministering to this lady in the projects. You know, I have 1 hour. And I start talking to her. And it's like 55 minutes, and she's starting to cry. And God is starting to use me. And I said, oh, well, the message is here, not at that church. I'm going to keep on going. And I just started ministering to her, an hour, 15 minutes. I guarantee you, if I had a cell phone at that time, it would have been going crazy. But because I was willing to invest a little bit more than an hour with her, she was able to accept Christ. And see, I was able to keep in touch with her and plug her into a church. And you know what? I've even talked to her this year, and she's still serving Christ just because I was willing to have a relationship with a stranger in the middle of the projects. That's why it's important that we are not just disciples, but we're disciples who have relationships. See, we serve a God who's a relational God. We cannot imitate him unless we're relational ourselves. See, this message makes me want to go out and just impact somebody's life by just being relational with them. I don't know about you, but I'm just excited about the fact that God has called his people to be relational with others, and that is the key of making a difference in someone's life. See, it was the relationship that I had with 72 churches when my daughter was on her deathbed that came and gave me the strength. It's important that we're relational. Because not only do we help people overcome and break their strongholds, we also help them overcome the darkest days of their life. See, if you truly have a relationship with somebody and you're a discipler, you're going to recognize when they're having a good day and a bad day. Or when they're having a bad day compared to a bad season. You're going to be able to know that they need you more now than they did 2 days ago. See, being relational means that we have to get out of our little world and start stepping in somebody else's. How many of you are willing to do that so your numbers in the kingdom can grow? There's, what, about 200-300 people here? Think about 300 people that have relationship with us. If we can make a difference, how much of an environment can that change? How many people can come to the Lord for that? See, I believe that God has power when it comes to relationship. This message didn't go anything like the first service, but that's okay. God's steering this. And I think he's staring it because I believe that he wants us to have, in this service, to have a little bit more time to reflect at what he's calling us to be. So I'm going to ask you, let's just go ahead and I'm stand up right now. We've talked about how God is going to use this particular church to minister to people in the community, how we want to make an impact in schools, an impact on the crime. And I believe that you guys carry that heart. We have the desire here to find Christ and help others find Christ. We have the desire to connect with people through relationships. And since that desire is already residing here in the house, I want to encourage you to go ahead and just bow your heads right now. Close your eyes. And I want you to start asking yourself right now, God, I heard your message. I want to take a few seconds just to speak to the people who might not have made the commitment the commitment of having a personal relationship with Christ. I'm talking to you because I've been where you're at. You know the story of what I told, part of where I said, God, I don't want nothing to do with you. But let me tell you the part of where he made himself real to me. See, when I went up to the altar and I accepted Christ, I did a very bold thing. And I'm not recommending you to do the same. It was just for me. But I gave God 6 months to change my life or I was going to end it. Not playing games with him anymore. And within 6 months, because I had a relationship with him and I found him, I was enrolled into a college with an SAT score. Enrolled into school, reading on a 7th grade reading level. He also brought me a family that loves me so dearly. See, really, I believe me having a relationship with God was able, the fact that Crystal was able to come in my life and be the best wife a man could have. And gave me 3 wonderful children. And I wouldn't be able to be the person I am today, the family person I have, and all the things, if it wasn't that I didn't have a relationship with Christ. See, it goes beyond just accepting him in our hearts, but it's having a relationship with him so he could bless us, because that's his desire. So if you're here today and you've heard me talk about having a relationship with Christ, and you've been through maybe some of this stuff, maybe you haven't, but you know now is the time to have a relationship with Christ. That you want to become that part of a disciple for him. That you want to walk in a different path than you've been walking in. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands right now. I see that hand. Those hands. There's quite a few people raising their hands, making the decision to become relational with God between them. And I believe that is just an awesome thing to celebrate. And so, guys and ladies, that you raised your hands, and anybody else that feels that, what I want you to do is I'm going to let you repeat this prayer after me so that you could transform into having a relationship with the living God. Father, I want you to know that I have a desire to have a relationship with you. I'm asking you to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life, and to be the Father that I need. I make a commitment to you to have a relationship with you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm talking to the people who's been saved and know that God is calling them to be a disciple who has relationship with others. And I want you to start thinking about a person. But if you know that God's speaking to you this morning, that he's calling you to be a discipler that has relationship with others, and you want him to use you to be impactful in somebody else's life, I want you to raise your hand and let God know that you're stepping into that commitment. Let him know that you're going to work with him to change people's circumstances, that you're going to walk with them through the thick and thin. And as you're raising your hands, don't let me just lead this prayer. You start making that personal commitment to him with your own words right now. Let him hear the commitment come from your heart, not just a speaker's heart. So for the next couple of minutes as they're playing, I want you just to come on and let God just hear your passion to have a relationship with others. Cry out to him this morning just for a few moments.
Thanks so much for watching this podcast, or if you're just listening to it, thanks so much for being part of our church service today. I know the Word is so rich, and when we give attention to the Word comes in and does amazing things in our lives. You know, I feel in our church that recently we've just been like sitting on a powder keg of the Holy Spirit, and it's just ready to blow. Man, I see lives changed every single week in our church, and it's so exciting. I walk out of here sometimes, and it's like I've had a surreal experience of just seeing God move and do things that I only previously dreamed of. So I'm so glad that you're part of that today. And you know, the greatest decision you can ever make in life is to serve the Lord Jesus, to ask Him into your heart, to make Him the Lord of your life, to ask Him to take away all the sin, all the shame, and all the guilt. If you'd like to pray with me right now and receive Him into your heart, this can happen. You can pray right where you are, whether you're at home or you're at work or wherever you're listening to this. You can pray right now and ask the Lord into your life, and He can do something that no other man can do. He can bring peace, He can bring salvation, He can bring healing. So if you're ready for that, just pray with me right now. Say these words, Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. I ask that You forgive me of all my sin, that You wash away the guilt, that You wash away the shame. I accept You, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life and help me to serve You from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. And you can say amen where you are. I want to pray for you now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone watching. I ask that You bring healing. I ask that You bring deliverance. I ask that You bring peace of mind. Lord, for those struggling with family problems, Lord, I ask that You come in and speak peace to the storm that's going on in their lives right now. And Lord, we love You, we bless You, we thank You today for who You are. Thank You for the audience listening and watching today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So follow us online, follow us on our social media pages. Thanks so much for listening, and till next time, walk with the Lord, be blessed, grow in the Word, and go forward in Him.